Well, what should we look at this evening?
I'm keeping a practice commitment to put myself in queue as I do back home in open air and Project Joy. And I noticed when I've been at the monastery, and even this time, there's still a conversation about,
will I
not share in group? And it's just a conversation I don't need to have.
Right. So the answer is yes, I will.
Yes, I will. So,
and that works really well on a lot of occasions.
Well, it does.
On a lot of
occasions. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I will.
Whether I get called on or not, it doesn't matter. It's here to...
In a group this size, your odds are...
pretty good. That's a great point. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
But I started doing that a couple months ago with Project Joy, and every caller has talked about being in the queue. There's that heightened awareness of, am I next? Better be there.
Right.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
When I'm called upon, and I just dropped in a meditation, that's the same attitude of mind that I want to bring to...
Everything.
Everything. Thank you. Everything. Okay. Yeah. And I've been looking at communication. And it's every time I share about it, it's been said that it's a big area for most of us, and seems to be a lot of karma around. Just so much struggle with it, and there's suffering. And but I'm seeing some pieces of it more clearly. And what dropped in recently was when I'm communicating, not so much verbally, but it's more in the written form, that there's this censoring or auditing going on over my shoulder of conditioning to either influence the outcome of the communication, to manipulate, control, be in good favor. Mm-hmm. So that's one aspect of it. So don't feel like I'm just authentically expressing what needs to be said, mm-hmm. but it's being. I feel like the way I'm being writing, just the words that are being chosen, I don't feel like they're freely being offered from life.
Uh-huh.
They're being construed.
Mm-hmm.
For its mm-hmm. gain, I guess.
Which is really kind of helpful.
Yeah.
Right? Because you get to see it.
Yeah.
You watch. Mm-hmm. You could write two things, right? Let it write one, and then, okay, let's translate that now into what's actually so.
Yeah.
Because it's really laying out its deal.
Right.
Right?
It's showing its hand.
It's showing its hand. This is how I manipulate you.
Uh-huh.
The same way I'm going to get you to manipulate everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good to see. But of course, we're not supposed to see it. You're just supposed to feel bad about it.
Yes.
Like it has something to do with you.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're doing that.
Yes.
And you're not.
No, no. And then the second part of it, which seems, maybe there's two parts to the second part, is the double reverse projection of the person receiving the communication, of how they're going to receive it, and then think of me, and perceive me. So that's sort of a stopper, like, oh, I get caught up in that double reverse projection. And then after the communication...
Which is also fascinating, right?
It is.
Because, again, it's just revealing itself.
It's
telling you...
what it is.
Yeah. And how it operates.
Yeah.
So it's very handy. Yeah.
Useful.
Oh,
useful.
Let me get that one down too. So
yeah.
They're going to think, I don't know. It'll be amazing to see if they really do.
Yeah. And a lot of it was around Africa for 150K. And it was the first time I really felt like wholeheartedly I reached out into my community and asked to participate. Normally I would just do the fundraising myself and generate.
Right. Go out and do something, or
yeah.
Send it in.
Send it in, yeah. Play my harmonica on the street corner. And that was a fun one. But this time I like dropped in, let's ask folks. And there was so much support. There were the support calls and there was the video conferencing in Canada. And I felt so supported, and I ended up with over 70 participants, which shocked me. I thought I'd have about 10,
yeah.
If I was lucky. Mm-hmm. And when it was all said and done, I looked at these emails that I sent out and other phone communications, and I had over 70 folks that I had asked to be part of my group, which was just phenomenal. I had no idea he even knew those that many people. It was really amazing. It was like, wow, I actually know these people enough, close enough, that I could actually ask them to participate in something. And then, of course, then I was writing these emails, and that's where I was saying a lot about communication, like, it took at least a good month installing to before that first email was ever written. But once I got on a roll and started getting some feedback, it really took a life of its own. And I tried to get out of its own way. I tried to get out of my own way and let life just enter it. And I'd write an email and delete it and then come back to it the next morning and go, oh, interesting. There's some things I didn't see in that one. And do it. But that was a really great opportunity to see how condition has been controlling communication. Mm-hmm. These are the great ones. Was the ones that ego was saying, there's just no way this person will participate. In fact, I'm going to get a really, really bad response. Those are the ones that donated. And the ones that I said, they're 100% she went.
I probably don't even need to write.
Yeah. I can telepathically send a message to them. They're the ones that said, not interested. Oh, holy. Wow.
What do you mean you're not interested?
Right.
At that point, it's not even about the money.
Never.
Right? It's not about the donation, but how can you not be interested?
Yeah, I think I talked to you about this. I think it was on, I don't know, Project or Open Air. A friend of 45 years, grade school, sent out a little kind of, we always chit chat by email, sent a little chit chat, and then I sent a little link on that. That's a shoe in. And then I met my insurance lady a week prior, and we got chatting, and she does some work with the local food bank. And I said, oh, it's interesting, I do some volunteer work too. She goes, oh, really? And she goes, do you do fundraiser? I go, yeah, actually, I'm in the middle of one. She goes, oh, well, do you have information? I go, yeah, I'll send you a link. She goes, great. She gets the link. The next day, she goes, oh, that is a beautiful project. I've already donated. Thank you for asking me. 2 days later, my best friend of 45 years says, I like to keep my money in Canada. I don't really like to send it overseas. That was his response. And I'm like, oh.
I don't know you.
Who are you?
Yeah, what have you done with my friend?
Who's this childhood friend of 45 years that I would have sold the farm thinking that he would participate. So that was such a great eye-opener on communication and seeing all the maturations that don't make any sense. Just don't make any sense.
No.
Not a bit. So.
The other thing that's so interesting about that, and it, to me it's one of those, no matter how many times, and we all know that this is true, but no matter how many times we know it's true, we go right on believing it. We cannot possibly control what people think of us. It's just not, you can't.
Right.
And so, I mean, you agonize over that email.
Yes.
You know, just, and who knows what they mean.
Well, after about 20 or 30 responses, I got to that point, Sherry, where it's just, here it is. Here are the facts.
That's right.
I'm passionate about this project. Here's a link.
Right.
Participate if you'd like to. Thanks. It really got that simple.
Yeah.
Like I stopped, I don't know.
Because you can't.
No.
You just can't.
And I can't have...
And we can't, period.
Yeah.
I mean, people get ready to go out, and they put themselves together in a way that they think will be acceptable. You know? So many people won't even notice. So many people think, oh... So many people are like, oh. You know, and there's just no possible way of knowing anything about it.
Yeah.
And yet we go right on believing what this is telling us.
But all in all, I believe the goal was needed, probably exceeded quite a bit, because it was all direct donation link on the Africa page, so they all directly look at the donate and then just respond back to me. Whether they participate, and some were participating, and I didn't even know about it until later when I run into them, and they say, "Oh yeah, participating in the project, that was great." I go, "Oh great, didn't know you did, didn't get back to me, but great,
you're right,
girl."
Yeah.
And so it was all in all, it was very fun project, fun
and illuminating,
incredibly illuminating. Yeah.
Absolutely. Which is why we do these things.
I know, that's what you said at the beginning. That. Get on board just to see what happens.
Just to see what happens.
Yeah.
Thank you. Rebecca?
Well, I I want to talk a little bit about that a writing project that I'm doing as well. And it happens on Wednesday night, so it's so convenient to like, because it's all fresh, and so I set aside this time each week. And so the week before, I had mentioned that I've done all this writing, and then the last 15 minutes is where it really felt like life had dropped in some. So this week, I was ready to not do that other thing of just let ego or whatever, just thinking.
And I'll just go right to center.
Exactly. So I took which advice you'd given Christine on the phone call, and I sat for 15 minutes before I set my time. And so then I just sat there, and I was just here, you know. And I was listening.
I sneaked my hand open.
With the pen. Okay.
Nobody's looking.
I was listening to Pache snore, so I, you know, it's like it was real quiet. I'm here, nothing. And then, you know, so it's like. And then it was like a little window opened, and I just started remembering things that you had said and that I had learned from this writing practice coaching I had done some years ago now. And it was so interesting how that happened, because it was what you had said to Beth, I think it was last week in group, or something about, it's not like we just get lobotomized and we just sit there. You know, we know what we're going to be doing. And then another thing you had said one time to me years ago on a radio, on the open air, was, I'm never in favor of inertia when we're doing a project. So we're doing something, we're bringing what we have to the table. And those conversations were just there. And so I picked up my pen and I just started writing, you know, just what, okay, we'll just get something going here, you know. And that experience in and of itself was so rewarding. It had a little bit of that feel of having the hand on the small of the back, and just feeling like what I'm writing is so, I don't want to say beside the point, because it's not, but it kind of is. Ooh. You know?
In the way that we could say everything we do is beside the point.
Yeah. That's what you were just saying, that the whole reason we do this is because it illuminates. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
If we don't remember that, we really get caught up in what we're doing. Right? Was it on Project Joy this morning, the whole process content thing,
yep,
that we get into on occasion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we get really caught up in the content of it, and that's never what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you wrote a masterpiece, it still would not be the point.
It's just what you were saying. We get all gussied up or whatever, and we go out and we don't know. So it's like, if it was a masterpiece, how would I know?
Right. Well, if we realize we're doing it for our own entertainment and our own illumination, then good. Then we'll pay attention to what's going to inform us.
Yes, on a process level.
On a process level.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like such a little dance there for that time, you know, because one of the places I got to was maybe I'm getting a little structure, you know, not in the time, like of the piece of what I'm writing. So I got up and got some of your books and was looking, and some have a little structure and some don't, you know, and like, well, and then maybe, and then something else would drop in, and then it would, I don't know, it was just felt like just such a dance,
Well, if I may offer my latest jag,
please.
Okay? It's not what we see, it's what causes us to see. So, was it about what was going on, or was it your sensitivity to what was causing you to be doing what you were doing? Not the specifics of what you were doing, but causing you.
Yes. I think that's sort of closing in on that, why I used the word of dance. Because it wasn't writing, it was dancing. That was so fun in that, go here, and then this would drop in, and then we would, you know, and then I would sit again. You know, so if I'm kind of sensing what you're saying, it's like the energy in the room, for lack of a better way of describing it, that I was really with for that hour and a half around this particular content, you know, around this particular practice commitment that I availed myself of, I guess you might say, was that union, maybe?
Yeah, being guided.
Yeah. So glad I'm doing this. You know, regardless. And it helps that it's not a content that I'm particularly charged about. You know, the writing, whatever I'm writing about, it's nice and it's all that, but it's not something I have a real big ego stake in, and so that seems to be helping.
Yeah, that's, not having a big ego stake is always helpful.
In the past, that's always been the
right. Well, and that's right. That's what twists people all up. Because it's not what I'm doing, it's when it's done.
Yeah.
Right? So it's looking to the finished product and how it'll be received. It's like gussying up this thing.
Yeah.
Right? How it's going to be received and what, and you're, I'm not getting there. It's not getting done. It's not,
yeah.
This is not working. And the hysteria that grows.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it to notice what happens with you in the doing of it, then
yeah.
You can't go wrong.
Can't go, because
there isn't any.
Yeah, the true north is, I want to see that which is seeing. I want to be with that which is.
Well, you would have to go this way, yeah, instead of to the side.
Yeah.
We're pointing.
Into the, yeah. Mm-hmm. To serve that which. I serve that which.
I want to serve that which makes me want to serve.
Yeah, that is so beautiful.
Showers. They'll do it for you every time.
Yeah. You're not having a spider run up your arm, or even if you are, right?
Yeah, they're action-packed.
Okay. I had a really interesting experience the other night of seeing something in somebody else that I then could recognize as a process so clearly.
Oh.
So I was at an event, there was a night with one of the candidates running for Congress from this district. And so it was we were in the old schoolhouse in Murphy's and lined up in these chairs, and then a person asked the candidate a series of questions, and it was quite intense. It went on for about 45 minutes and the candidate responded. And
is this an incumbent?
No.
Candidate?
No. No, no.
I was going to say, I wish I'd known. I would have said, would you ask that incumbent candidate to empty the mailbox and be able to receive calls?
Messages?
Uh-huh. But no. That is a different candidate.
Different candidate. This is the candidate we hope will be the next incumbent.
Oh.
Anyway, one of the candidates. Any candidate. Anyway, so this is one of the very exciting young candidates that's out there. And so after about the 45 minutes, then there was a period of just sort of mingling, you know. So I was sitting partway back, and I walked back to the back, to the refreshment table. And as I went by, there was a guy sitting there who's, he comes to these things. And he was sitting there with his little notebook open. He had all these notes, and he said, "Well, she didn't talk about this." And he's telling me this. She didn't talk about that. And I said, "Well, ask her." He said, "Well, she should have talked about it so we all could hear, not just me." And I said, "Well, but," and then she also didn't talk about that. And she didn't, and I said, "Well, ask her." "Well, no, but she should have." And I said, "No, it does no good to complain to me. Go ask her." So and he did, to his credit. He went and asked her. But what was so interesting about that was
I mean, what I got was victimizer, victimized is the same thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I really saw that because here he was sitting there all wounded and victimized because she didn't say exactly what he wanted her to say,
uh-huh.
even though she was responding to questions. Anyway, but what I got that I just hadn't seen quite so clearly before was in order for him to be the victim, he had to blame her for victimizing him, mm-hmm. which
yes.
victimizes her.
Yes.
And I mean, I just...
And you.
And
well, but I mean, that's the way it goes. Yeah, so right. then you just pick the right. next person who comes by and
yeah.
onto them.
Yeah, and the refreshing part was I didn't choose to be victimized.
Yes.
It was very fun. But I mean, I once said in the group that I realized that almost, as far as I can tell, all my stories are ones about being a victim.
Mm.
And what I hadn't seen.
Almost, ooh, we'll have to check that out. Let's all check it out this week. I bet a lot of them
I think
are.
They are. Mm-hmm. And what I really got by what I saw in him is, if I'm being victimized, I have to be blaming somebody or something.
Mm-hmm.
And given that that's probably not anybody or anything's intention, mm-hmm. I have to be making them the victim of my deciding that they're bad.
Yeah.
Or hurtful or something like that. And it was yeah. just so helpful to see.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. And so fascinating to see how, if you weren't a student of awareness, so he's a victim. He's victimizing her
mm-hmm.
because she victimized him. I mean, it's not like he made this up.
No, right.
right? And then he dumps it on you.
Right.
Why are you doing this to me? Right. It's not my fault.
Right.
Okay, and then you're going to go to the refreshment table, and you're going to say, oh, I can't, it's, yeah, and yeah. dump it again, okay? And it just boom, 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 around the world.
Mm-hmm. Or I could agree with him, right? I could commiserate with him, and then we both
right.
victimized.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. It was.
And then you go to the refreshment table,
and
find
wow,
somebody,
yes.
yeah.
Did you know, she didn't even, yeah. I know, it just multiplies itself. And so actually, one of the things that was most refreshing to me about, two things happened that evening that were surprising to me about my own behavior. That was one. I was clear I didn't want to participate in that.
Mm-hmm.
I was clear that it didn't do good to participate in that. It had nothing to do with me.
Right.
Or her.
And it certainly wasn't going to help him.
No.
If, you know, if it made a person feel better, then we
yes,
could say,
right.
okay, well, what the hell.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It just perpetuates it.
Earlier, as she was speaking, a woman who had actually done with some of the introductions went to the back and she was talking to someone in the back. So you could hear this, you know, and it was irritating to me. And I noticed that the candidate also was sort of glancing back there periodically. I cannot tell you how many times I have sat through things like that, not wanting to make a fuss, not wanting to do anything. And I just stood up and went back and said, can you please take the conversation outside? And she said, oh my God, I'm sorry. I went back and sat down, and I thought, I had what was so interesting to me about it was I had nothing going on about it except to ask her to go outside. And I realized that if I had just sat there, talking about being victimized,
oh.
if I had sat there, I would have sat there resenting her.
Mm.
And that's where all my attention would have gone,
mm-hmm.
all my energy would have gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt so clean. And it was one of those times of getting it, because it really did feel like simply responding to the moment, all the space that creates.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For you and everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was quite fascinating evening. Aside from what the candidates
aside from, yeah. yeah. Good candidates.
Oh, we got some good candidates. Two in particular, they're fabulous. I wish that they could be running for different things. Because you hate for either of them to lose.
Yeah.
They're terrific.
Suggest that.
Well, everybody's suggesting that to them. Find something else to run for.
Right. Because, and we'll all be right there
really,
behind you.
Really,
yeah.
It's amazing.
Wow, that's
yeah.
good. That's good.
Yeah. I was just seeing how monastic practice is really good for not allowing things to multiply. There's just a constant, there's nowhere, it's like, there are no channels. There is no one to go, you know what, they should have, they'll just walk away from you if you try
right.
to do that anyway. Gosh, and walk away. And, oh my gosh, how helpful that is.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that like came up when you were saying your latest jag, will you say it again? Because for some reason it keeps...
The one serving is
yeah.
that one? Well, I've said it a couple of ways, but basically it's, I want to serve what makes me want to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a feeling that I have of wanting to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be confused that it's the serving that is the point. What's making me have that desire?
Yeah, where does that come from anyway? Yeah.
That's what I want to serve.
Mm. Mm. So, yeah, and you know, it's fun is, it came in, it did something when you said it the first time, and then I couldn't get it, then the mind tried to get it, and it couldn't get it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can just experience what it's doing to me.
Yes, and that's the whole thing, isn't it?
It's
because
the whole thing.
We can't say what it is.
Right.
So that which you're seeking is causing you to seek is the same, that same kind of, well, I am seeking. Why?
Uh-huh.
I mean, what is that? It's at least for me, it's nothing that I can say, well, it's da-da-da-da-da. You know, it's, I don't know what that is. It's when we talk about, you know, people who practice awareness or want to wake up and end suffering. Why? Why? Were we just smarter than other people and made better choices? No. I mean, back to the first time, there was ever an impulse toward something spiritual or, you know, why? What caused that?
And you were saying, like, we don't know, what is that? We don't know what that is. I was like, that's so exciting.
It is.
That we don't know what it is.
Well, it's thrilling in and of itself.
It is thrilling in and of itself.
Yeah.
I love that it's a mystery, because it can't get reduced.
Yes.
By the mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can try, but it's just
right.
Like once you've had the experience.
People do try.
Yeah, well,
right?
I'm sure I've done that plan.
Yeah.
But when you have that experience, you can just see that's not contained by anything. Mm-hmm. It can't be contained by anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so where it brought me was this thing I've been seeing around, it's funny because I would think this is not how I would describe it, but just feeling like somehow there's this plan going on. And I'm just sort of waking up to getting in line with that plan. And not that I know what the plan is, but just that it's just clear things seem to be happening to assist me to wake up.
Yes.
And so, the way I've been seeing it lately is that I just saw these couple of examples of something being put into my life where it's like, it shakes up the hornet's nest or something like that. You know, all this energy. One was around, when you just said earlier, we can't control how people think of us. I was just, it's almost like I'd never heard that before. Wait, what? What? Yeah, and so, you know, there's just these fun things, like, I had one of those things where I thought I wrote this really great letter to my mom, and I was sharing this process I've been talking about around the phone, and this, you know, just this process of being free and choosing, and this divine intervention of the phone breaking, and then I talked to my mom on the phone, and she's like, yeah, gosh, it just seems like that's a lot of thinking, isn't it? I mean, aren't you just exhausted by all that? And what it stirred up was, oh my gosh, she doesn't know is that what it looks like I'm doing here? I'm not doing that. I'm relaxing. I'm being aware. You know, there was just this panic of, because apparently it's really important that they value what I'm doing.
Right, yeah.
You know, and she's, and it's like.
That's and
like,
clearly, she doesn't understand.
Yeah, well, either that or then it was like, well, maybe I am. Am I thinking a lot? Is that what I'm doing here? Oh my gosh, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, it's just like. Down the hole, you know. But what was great is there was no one to go call and say, this thing happened with my mom and did it, you know, and can you believe, and I can't, how does she not understand that? And there was no place to do that.
Right.
Except for to get on the recorder.
Yeah, get on the recorder and then drop it. Because
exactly.
without somebody else to do it with, there's not a lot of juice there.
But that's the thing. There was no channel to let ego keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the mirroring is silence and nature. And Pache, it was just like, it really highlighted that something just got really stirred up and there was a lot of energy in the body. But it wasn't anything necessarily real.
Yes. Yes. Well, and again, back to the, it's so interesting because we're conditioned not to have that happen. Right? The right life doesn't have things like that happen. if something like that happens, then there's a right way for you to respond to it.
Yeah.
If you don't respond to it in the right way, well, then we have to go down that path, right? But it's so helpful to realize, ooh, karma.
Exactly.
Ooh, there it is.
Yeah.
Just watching the whole thing that it does to you about what people are supposed to think of you and what happens if they don't seem to, and what does that mean, and what should you do, and are they right? Is it true?
Yeah.
Is it all of those things? What a great process map.
Yeah, exactly. A great process map. And the image when you were talking, it's like, you know, I'm walking around the property and there's the leaves on the ground, everything is still, and then, you know, the plant comes in and it's like a snow globe or whatever, it goes whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And if I just thought everything was completely calm, and then whoa, everything is like flying around, all the leaves, and I didn't realize that I wasn't in touch with that karma.
Yeah,
it's just sort of always operating in the background there.
Yeah.
And so it was just great to be at a place in practice where, you know, I could see that as a help rather than something I needed to get rid of or cope with, or even sort of cope with practice, essentially.
Yeah, right. It's interesting.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And one of the things the mentor said is like, well, what do you want your parents to say to you? What would you really like to hear? So I made a recording exactly of all the things I wish my parents would say to me about what I'm doing here.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, okay, well, that's all I needed.
Right.
And now I can stop trying to get them to be a certain way so that I feel a certain way, or to present myself in a letter so that then they'll think I'm doing this. It's like, well, what do you need? Well,
which
we can
is,
do that.
Which is really interesting, right? Because we could guess, we could project that they have the same thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
God, I wish Scott would really appreciate me and understand what, and, you know, see me and realize how much I've done for him.
Right. And how could I see that? Because I'm mirrored in my snow globe of, oh my gosh, and what about me? And I wish they would. You can't even get, you're not even close to that.
Mm-hmm.
Which what I loved about making that recording is it just, is that all you need? We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was that much love. Now I'm actually available to that relationship.
Yes. And again, just to consider wondering what it is that they're trying to get from you.
Uh-huh. Oh, you know, I love when you do that, when you come back around and say it again to me. Because there's resistance to that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I wouldn't think so, well, I'd love to hear what they want from me, but I can feel the.
Yeah,
what
it's
is
not
that?
Supposed to be about them.
Wow, to have that direct experience I just had, because if you asked me, it would be like, no, I'd love to. I'd love to talk to you about it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, apparently not.
Not from karma.
Yeah, not from karma.
Yeah, for you. Yeah.
Or from the identity, who this is how he is and this is how he is with other people.
Mm-hmm.
But to watch the resistance just now, though, that's more true than any conversation about what I'd really like to offer my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Fun, huh?
Very fun.
Jen, that's interesting. It mirrors an experience I'm having right now with my mom, actually, where there's this thing that she's we've kind of been dancing around talking about doing it for quite some time. And what I saw some months back was what I've been doing is looking to see whether I want to do it or not. And what that will mean for me and how that will, And I had a conversation with her recently where she just basically said, I would love to do this with you. And it's interesting, that conversation you just had, because what it mirrored for me was, wow, they're really, that self-referencing place of, do I want to do this, truly does make it all about me. And I just saw this whole other place from which, and it kind of goes back to the victim-perpetrator thing too, actually. Because I think what I was doing is trying to imagine, can I do this thing? And am I going to be able to be nice to her? Because what happens is, okay, I'll do this thing, but I don't really want to do this thing, but I'll do it for you. But it shifted to this other place of, I don't know, just, it's, I'm being told it's a little bit cold to say it this way, but I'm completely willing for it. And the fact that she was able to say that to me in that way, I would love to do this with you.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When is the last time you did something like this with your mother?
4 years ago, 3 years ago.
You and your mother?
No, never.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And yet somebody has a whole...
Oh, yes. A whole idea of what it's gonna... Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that's interesting that you ask that, because that's very much a part of it, in the sense of both the looking to see if I want to do this, and the... yeah, I don't even know how to say it, but you've touched right on it. That place of like, oh, this is a whole other thing. I don't know how to describe it.
Well, from a karmic perspective, to me what's interesting about it is that the karma just comes to the fore. Mm. Yes. Do I want to do this? Mm-hmm. Which is interesting right there, mm-hmm. you know. That's interesting. And then combine that with, well, I've never done this. Mm-hmm. So, where does that conversation come from?
The one about looking to see whether I want to do it?
Yeah. I mean, who is that who's looking?
Yeah.
Because it can feel like, I don't know if it's true, but the karma is trying to maintain itself in the face of a lack of experience.
Hmm. That's interesting.
You know, in most cases, karma has some grip on experience.
Yeah.
But in this case, there isn't any.
Yeah.
And yet, it wants to come in, ego wants to come in and be the one who decides whether or not to do this.
Yeah, that's really interesting too. I mean, that touches on, it feels like a large area that I've been looking at. I had a conversation with Ashwani a couple of days ago about it. It's exactly that process that, you know, things shift around. And ego has an opinion about, I like this, I don't like that, that's good, that's bad. You know, this is changing, this is whatever. And it has no idea.
Right.
It has no idea.
Based on nothing.
Based on nothing. Mm-hmm. Based on nothing. And it blocks what... I don't even know how to say it, because that... What I was going to say is, it blocks what might be there, but what I guess what I mean by that is, so in this case, you know, if we go back to that, the example I'm talking about, so it has an idea. So even if, you know, yes, okay, let's do that, if that same orientation comes in, the possibility that's being facilitated there might never actually be experienced, because there's an idea of it.
Yes. Well, we talk about this regularly. That for most people, pretty much the knee jerk is no.
Oh my gosh, yes. No.
No. No.
Yeah.
No. It's just, that's just, do you want, no.
it's really true.
Yeah. So, I'm convinced that it is simply to keep identity in place, mm-hmm. is the only way to keep identity in place. Mm-hmm. Because without that no, mm-hmm. then things start really moving and shifting around, and you start realizing, well, I really don't know. And mm-hmm. gosh, if I were just present, I might have a different experience. And that's not anything ego wants to have happen. Mm-hmm. So it's already got you into the story mm-hmm. experiences that are enough like this.
Right.
And it involves your mother. Enough said. And so, you know, I know how that's going to go. And no, I'm not interested. And then, well, but you should. So you can feel guilty, feel bad, and all of that. But I don't want to. That's really clear. I don't want to.
Yeah.
But the I don't want to, I think it's sad that the I don't want to isn't questioned more often.
Yeah.
Because what is the I don't want to? Is the I don't want to about the content?
Yes, exactly.
Or is the I don't want to a process?
Yes. Mm. That's, yes. I mean, that's what I'm seeing in all these other things as you're talking. Because it's like, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that to change. I don't want that to be that way. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. Not failing to notice the huge other thing that falling away opens up.
Mm-hmm. Which but is I not of interest to ego either.
No. You know what I just saw as you said that knee-jerk no. I don't know if this is true, but what I kind of saw in that was like, it's like the stall tactic, right? No, I don't want to do that. And then it's like, it's back there and like, well, you know, maybe that will be good for me. Maybe that will. So then it might come forward with yes a little later, once all the karmic pieces are in place and now I can do it my way. And I can get what I want from this, you know? I'm just going to experiences where, just gets reworked.
Right. Rework it until it works for ego.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because something like a no, when it involves your mother, that's not good. You know? There's
issues with it.
Yeah, yeah. There's more karma in that than you want to deal with. So it's
she goes between a rock and a hard
place. Yeah. Really, truly. Yeah. And of course, in that ego way, it's okay because it's gonna be able to cry supper.
Yeah.
No matter how it goes.
Yeah.
But it is that. And sometimes I wonder, of course, if that stall and then negotiate is really angling for the most suffering.
Probably.
So if you don't do it, you might actually suffer less than if you do it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead, do it.
Uh-huh.
It'll be great.
Yeah. Well, the other sort of really interesting irony of it that I'm looking at is one of the big reasons not to do it, because when you asked me, that's sort of what I thought you were, like, when you said, how long, when did you last do this, I thought you were pointing at what happened the last time you did this. But what's funny about that is that was completely created by the same karma.
Mm.
The difficulty of the thing was absolutely created from the karma that you're pointing at. Mm-hmm. And so that's just a fascinating piece of it, you know, that it would project that karma into the...
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's really helpful.
And I think the bottom line helpful with all of this is whatever we do, it's a workshop.
Exactly.
If we forget that everything we do is a workshop, we're going to be unhappy.
Yeah.
Oh, but if it's a workshop, then you really can't lose. I mean,
that's
if you do whatever and just wind up a screaming, raving maniac, if you're paying attention, you'll learn a lot.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, that's because that's the thing. It's like that negotiating is, let me see if I can figure out how this is going to be okay, no matter what. That's a setup. Mm-hmm. No matter what. Yes, no, whatever. That's a huge setup. Mm-hmm. But that's the place of freedom. Mm-hmm. Like, all right,
it's a retreat.
Let's see. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Well, I have a couple things I'd like to talk about. One is the little story about... I was out yesterday and I stopped at our local hardware store. And when I went out to pay, the woman said to me, "Is this on account?" And that kind of surprised me. I guess, you know, I had...
We're in those beads.
We're in those beads, you know. And I thought, oh, okay. You know, I said, well, you know, yeah, some of these items are on account. And she goes, "And your name's Sequoia, right?" And I go, "Well, now we're good." And I remember seeing her in there before, but I don't remember having a whole lot of interaction with her, you know. And she said, I just remember your name because I liked it. And then within about 30 seconds, she said to me, I think I'm a Buddhist. And she said, you know, I think the world's crazy. And she goes, it just seems like, you know, the things we're told that we need to be happy, it's not true. And she said, and I mean, this is like, I'm 30 seconds in the line, you know? And my jaw's kind of dropping, you know? And I go, wow. You know? Yeah, you know? I'm there with you, you know? And then I said to her, well, you know, the way I found this practice is reading a book. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. And you can get it up at Sustenance. You know, that book's up there by Sherry Huber. And she ran over and she got a piece of paper and she wrote it down.
Bless her little heart.
You know? And then I I got so distracted that I walked off and left my...
Ours is a mindfulness.
I was like, oh, God. So then the end of the story is I stopped outside for a while to do a test. So I didn't leave right away. And as the truck was pulling in front of the doors of the store, they opened and she walked out with my bag. She goes, I can't believe us. This is a miracle. She goes, I went and did all these things and I came back and found your bag and I thought, there's just no way that she's still in the parking lot. But I'm just going to walk out there just in case. And I was just happy.
She does the drop-in, follow intuition.
Exactly. So, you know, there's
she is
just,
Buddhist.
There was just so much about it, about, you know, about being of service. And, you know, you just never know when you're going to be called. And it's not about me. And that, you know, there's just... People are watching, even when you think you're in the hardware store and you're not, you know, it's like you have no idea what is being
observed. Yes.
You know,
it's a good part about wearing those beads.
Mm-hmm. Really. So it was really an awakening for me, you know, to just. Well, kind of not too. It's like, wow.
Yeah, that's what my teacher would talk about, that, you know, it was right not that long before where religious people stopped wearing any religious identification. And he said, you know, you just never know when somebody's looking for a religious person. Yeah. And if you can't tell who they are...
Yeah, wow, that's interesting.
And, I mean, she's a perfect example.
A perfect example. I know, I could tell. I mean, this had been, she was just waiting, you know, for that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And
next time you go in, have a copy of There's Nothing Wrong With You in case she didn't make it.
Exactly, I had that same thought. I'm not going anywhere again. I just put it in my bag.
Some people carry cards. Carry books.
I handed it out at the grocery store, you know, and so I don't know why I don't keep one in my...
Is that woman not at the grocery store any longer who's so crazy about her practice?
No, I haven't seen her for a heck of a long time.
Yeah.
She's doing a lot of catering and other things.
Oh, is that what... Oh. Mm.
Anyway, I didn't give it to her, but I gave it to another person. Yeah. And she still talks to me, so yeah.
So she must. She must. Either didn't read it or liked it.
Yeah. Another thing I'd like to just talk about was Project Joy in the conversation you had with Kate about the bird. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was very moving to me, and it
and it really struck a chord. It's an area that I am not free in at all. It's like, for me, I think the worst possible job I can imagine is being in and working in an emergency room. Mm-hmm. I don't know how people do that. Mm-hmm. And when I read, I was recently reading a poem by Mary Oliver, and she talked about, you know, stopping by the side of the road and picking up a dying fox mm-hmm. and carrying it to the woods. Mm-hmm. I don't know how she does that. You know, and it's just a place of just tremendous, like when a bird flies into the window, it's like, oh God, I can't look. You know, please don't let it be. You know, please don't let it die. It's just like, I'm up against this thing. It just feels so insurmountable in a way. I don't know how to say it, but it's been something that's been, I just know it's a, what is it? It's a wall that I haven't been able to move through. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
What do you believe about death?
Well, I believe that, you know, ego dies, this form dies, but I do believe something continues. And just changing forms, you know. And morph into something else, which I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. But I suspect it's something. The only thing I've experienced, there's, you know, this incredibly unconditional loving energy, and I suspect that that's where one goes. But I don't know.
So when we talk about the, a little bit ago, the wanting to serve mm-hmm. that which causes us to want to serve, that kind of thing, do you resonate with that?
Yeah. I'm having a hard time. I mean, the scramble is going on right now. I've been really resonating with, you know, looking at that, at the place of where the insight's coming from, where the that's felt like a big shift. And in that same way that there's something bigger that
So it might, you know, I'm not a big fan of believing, and it might be helpful to consciously attend more to that experience?
To the experience of going to the place. Yeah. Yeah.
Because when we talk about the space between the thoughts mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. that sort of thing, mm-hmm. we drop conditioning and we're in that quiet or that peace or to explore the possibility that that's the, out of that comes the form? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of a clumsy way of saying it, but...
Yeah.
And exploring whether considering that alters the experience of death? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, the emergency room thing is people being in such pain and screaming and yelling and terrified and that sort of thing. Which feels different from, you know, if the bird runs into the window and dies.
Has to do with death. The fear has to do with death, and it also has to do with something. Is there some kind of fear too about? I don't know how to say this, but it's like disfigurement, or it's oh gosh, it's just that. It's just it feels like it feels intolerable to there's the bird dying, which is difficult, but even would be worse if the bird was like had its neck broken or something and it was suffering and I was there with it, and I couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. That's the really hard part, you know. It's like if it was neat and clean, like okay, the bird just hit the window and died. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or the bird just hit the window and flew off. But the bird hit the window and just...
Is suffering.
Is suffering and something in a way that's just... you can't help. That's the place.
Let me ask you this. Give you an insight into some of the strange things that I think about. When your time comes, would you rather get hit by a semi or die a lingering death? You ever think about that?
Yeah. I never thought about the semi thing, but I used to think about that walking out the Earth House when there'd be mountain lion sightings. And I thought, you know,
maybe you go.
I could go, you go, and I'd rather go by a mountain lion than have to lay in a nursing home for months on end, you know, with, tubes and...
Mm-hmm. So, sudden, not lingering, okay? Because that could be a big clue about what's going on in those situations. Where that projection is coming from. Mm. That if it's quick, it's not a problem, because very probably what animates is just right there still, and the form changes, but it's not anything we call life is goes right on.
Yeah.
Now see, for me, this is just something to give you something to consider.
Okay.
For me, I actually think I'd rather die a lingering death. Uh-huh. Mm. Because there would be so much to experience.
Yeah.
And so with a creature, you know, creatures are so good, it seems, about dying when they're ready. Mm-hmm. And of course, if it's anything that a vet is going to interact with, that's what they always say. You know, they'll let you know when they're ready, mm-hmm. if there's going to be assistance. But they seem to be, they have that ability that we seem to have lost of, okay, mm-hmm. time has come, mm-hmm. and time to go. And I don't know if you've been with creatures when they go through that process, but if we don't project too much onto them, they don't actually seem to mind the experience that they're having. In fact, people will talk about, you know, this poor little dog, 1 minute, you know, just and then jumps up and runs around and he wants to play fetch. And then 2 days later is dead. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We hear that actually with people too, mm-hmm. that they go through mm-hmm. those kinds of...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, whatever we're doing, I don't know if the rest of you have noticed this, but it's terribly interesting to us. You know? And watching just about anybody else go through something that's difficult is not that interesting. You know, we want them to get over it, either because they're suffering and we don't want them to suffer, or because we're tired of whatever it is that they're doing. But, you know, it's really difficult to witness somebody else's life experience. But our own is not as difficult to witness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy. Yeah, that was really useful. And yeah, just to see all the projection in it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I have no idea. And I have no idea.
And you know, if there is something to this, form, mm-hmm. And there's some kind of progression, mm-hmm. then we really don't know what anybody is working through or resolving or mm-hmm. learning or whatever at any particular point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's making peace with that particular experience. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Yeah, boy, the ultimate, it's not about me.
Yeah. You know. It is, and it's also like all these other things we talk about, they're such helpful clues. Mm-hmm. You know, so you know it's not. I mean, you know it's the bird. You know that happened to the bird, it didn't actually happen to you. But all of that, all of what you feel is what's happening to you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All the projections right. are you.
Right.
And so that's where the resolution has to be.
Yeah. I'm aware that. Yeah.
We do get tangled up though sometimes.
It's all going right? in here.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's just been one of those areas that's.
And to find Mark, we haven't heard from Mark for a while, but. You know, he's the one who talks about the seeing the animal on the side of the road and just being undone, or the coyote's got a pet turkey, and his wife was able to go through it, and he was just undone. And to practice with that, staying with my feelings, staying with this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can't stay with it any longer, and then bailing. Okay. And then.
Yeah. Yeah, his whole description of going with his wife to bury the turkey and all of that. I mean, I really honored the courage and the willingness in that to mm-hmm. just. Because I know what he was. I mean, ooh. I project.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That mm-hmm. place he's coming from. So. Mm-hmm.
So, is all of this happening so that you can heal that place in you? Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Mm. Lots to look at.
Yeah, I will, but I will. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, everybody.